Manuscript Releases, Volume 14, Numbers 1081 to 1135. MR Number 1115. Ellen White, Comments on Finding Water at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium, a collection of source documents. In September 1902, Ellen White visited the site of the present Paradise Valley Hospital, National City, California. What she saw was a three-story building containing about 50 rooms, situated on a 20-acre property, well-landscaped with rare shade trees. She urged that the property be purchased if the money could be raised. Although the institution, under the original owners, had failed twice, largely for lack of water, Mrs. White felt sure that water could be found. In 1904, the institution was purchased, and renovations were begun in preparation for receiving the first patients. During these months of preparation, water was scarce, and vegetation showed evidence of the prevailing drought. But Mrs. White insisted that water was available, if they would dig a well. The well was dug in November, and much to the surprise and delight of everyone, it yielded an abundant supply of pure, soft water. This collection of letters contains every known Ellen White reference to the finding of water at Paradise Valley. If other references are found, they will be included in future editions of this collection. Ellen G. White Estate, March 1985. Last Wednesday, July 6th, W.C. White, Sarah, Maggie, and I left Nashville for Washington. Just before we left, a meeting of the Southern Union Conference Committee was held in Nashville for the purpose of devising some means of helping the Huntsville School. Those who have had charge of the school have not felt the importance of putting brain, bone, and muscle to the tax in an effort to make the school a success. The students who attend this school are to be given an education that will fit them to work for the master. They are to be given more than book knowledge. Should they be given book knowledge merely, their education would be imperfect. There should be a special school for the younger ones. Fathers and mothers are to be placed on the land, and parents as well as children are to be given an education. Promising families are to be brought in and settled upon a piece of ground as large as shall be deemed best. In connection with the school, there should be an experienced carpenter who can teach the fathers and their boys how to build their homes, which are to be neat, convenient, inexpensive buildings. The mothers should be taught how to prepare food hygienically and how to care for the sick. While I was in the South, I visited Huntsville. The Southern Union Conference Committee held a meeting while we were there, and I had much to read to the brethren assembled. A heavy burden rested upon me while I was at this place. I knew that there must be a change in the faculty, that more thorough men must take up the work. When a man has occupied the same position for years, and yet the school, in its inside and outside working, is still far from what it ought to be, a change must be made. A man must be put in charge who knows how to govern himself and others, and how to make the school show constant improvement. Teachers and students are to cooperate in doing their best. The constant effort of the teachers should be to make the students see the importance of constantly rising higher and still higher. Careful attention is to be given to the little things. Nothing in the house or about the premises is to be allowed to present a slack, dilapidated appearance. The horses are to be carefully stabled, and everything about the barn and stable is to be kept neat and clean. The leading, controlling influence in the school must be faithfulness in that which is least. Thus the students will be prepared to be faithful in greater things. This is all that I can write now on this matter. But you know how hard it is for one who had not been trained to be faithful in little things, to be faithful in larger trusts. And when one standing at the head of a school allows things to go at loose ends, his example has an influence on all around him. He should not be allowed to continue to sow the seeds of neglect and carelessness. Ever since going to the Berrien Springs meeting, 1904, my work has been continuous and taxing. While there, I saw that which we shall have to meet in the future. The only way in which we can advance in our work is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The book that contains the will of God concerning us is in our hands. A blessed unity will be enjoyed by those who are indeed children of God. They will not, by their words and acts, lead anyone to doubt in regard to the distinct personality of God or in regard to the sanctuary and its ministry. We all need to keep the subject of the sanctuary in mind. God forbid that the clatter of words coming from human lips should lessen the belief of our people in the truth that there is a sanctuary in heaven, and that a pattern of this sanctuary was once built on this earth. God desires his people to become familiar with this pattern, keeping ever before their minds the heavenly sanctuary, where God is all and in all. We must keep our minds braced by prayer and a study of God's Word, that we may grasp these truths. I was much pleased, Brother Palmer, to hear that water had been found on the sanitarium land. I have always had a very strong impression that water could be found there. When I saw the place, I said, "If I ever have a chance, the matter shall be tested and proved, even if water has to be sought for in several places." I thank the Lord that He does reward persevering effort. Then pray, and believe that there is something for each one to do. You speak of Brother Henry Kellogg's having a share in the Paradise Valley Sanitarium, the same as some others of us have. I have longed to propose this, but suppose that he had invested his money elsewhere. In all my connection with Brother Kellogg, I have ever found him kind, sympathetic, and tender-hearted. I should be much pleased to have him unite with us in this interest. I have the fullest confidence in him as being a wise counselor and advisor. I never found him putting his foot on the brakes through fear that advancement would require means. May the Lord bless him, is my prayer. We must push forward as fast as we possibly can with sanitarium work in Southern California. I am sure that a sanitarium should be established near Los Angeles. This work has been delayed for want of proper management, and yet men have felt capable of managing. They have been unwilling to blend with others in the work. I hope that now we shall be able to make more advancement, but we shall be obliged to work on without the men who have not seen and improved their opportunities. We shall have success if we move forward in faith, determined to do the work of God intelligently. We must not allow ourselves to be hindered by men who love to stand on the negative side, showing very little faith. God's missionary work is to be carried forward by men of much faith, and is steadily to grow in force and efficiency. May the Lord strengthen you and bless you with health, is my prayer. We have been here for nearly 2 weeks, but I have been sick most of the time. Somewhere I caught a severe cold, and for more than a week I have not associated with the family at all, but have kept closely to my room. I have a very severe cough and a very sore throat, and I have thought it best to keep to myself. At times, when coughing, it has seemed as if my breath would stop, but I have taken heavy treatment, and I am improving, though I still have times of heavy coughing. I thank the Lord that last night I had a good night's rest, with only one spell of coughing. I feel that I am on the gaining side. You will be glad to know that the preparations for opening this building as a sanitarium are going forward rapidly. For some time, the men have been digging a well on the flat, and they have found water. They have gone down 90 feet, and they wish to go 10 feet further if possible. Last evening, Brother E.R. Palmer came to my room so full of joy that he could scarcely speak, to tell me that a stream of water as big as his hand was coming into the well, and this morning there is 14 feet of soft, pure water in the well. I never saw a man more rejoiced than Brother Palmer was. The thought that there is a lake of soft water 100 feet or more below us has sent a thrill of joy through our hearts. There will be all the water that is needed, both for use in the house and for watering the olive and orange trees on the place. I wish we would all be as glad that the love of God is flowing through our world, and that it may fill our hearts, conveying spiritual strength and vitality to every part of the being. We may inquire, is it possible that God can love us as He loves His Son? It is possible, for God's Word declares, "The glory which Thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as Thou hast loved me." John 17, verse 22, 23. I beg you and your sons not to let your love for Christ diminish. In the Word of God, we have subjects of the highest value to contemplate. Christ's life is an illustration of sacred, ennobling purity. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, verse 4. Oh, the depth of the riches of that love wherein God hath abounded toward us in the person of his Son.
Think more of Christ and of his rich grace, that you may have the riches of his grace. Beseech God to grant that you may be able in your home to comprehend the love that passeth knowledge.
Christ's oneness with the Father was a constant joy to God, for he knew that there was in the world one who would not misrepresent him. In Christ, he beheld the reflection of his own character, and it was that his followers might have this same oneness. That was Christ's great desire. For this oneness, he prayed. John 17, verse 17 to 21, quoted. It is this oneness in the church that is to proclaim the wonderful truth that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. John 17, verse 24 to 26, quoted. The oneness existing between the Father and the Son does not affect the distinct personality of each. And though believers are to be one with Christ, their identity and personality are recognized through the whole of this prayer. I wish that we could comprehend this wonderful prayer. In it, our privileges and possibilities are plainly outlined. We need to watch unto prayer. We need to be constantly on guard lest we fail of gaining the oneness for which Christ prayed. Sister Gray, I entreat you to lead your children in the path of eternal life. A life of piety is a life of praise. Let us, by beholding the character of Christ, become changed into his likeness. This morning we are thankful to our Heavenly Father that we have encouragement that we shall have water this morning. Brother E. R. Palmer informed me the second stream of water had come as large as his hand. I have never seen work carried forward with greater faith and hopefulness. All are of good courage, and the poor, drying up, dying trees, are beseeching us by their appearance for refreshing streams of water. Diary entry for November 24, 1904, San Diego, California. This morning we have still more encouraging, favorable news. What joy is expressed upon every countenance over the promise of a full supply of good, sweet water. There is 14 feet of water in the well, unexpected. All unexpected. Tools are at the bottom of the well. All have worked most earnestly and hopefully, praying in faith that we should not be disappointed. The water is now a certainty. The trees shall have their refreshing portion. Brother Palmer was so pleased. He expressed his gratitude to God for this great blessing, that labor and money invested for machinery for the water plant had brought returns. W. C. White, in company with Brother Ballinger and Sister Gotzian, returned. Brother Ballinger expressed that which it is the privilege of us all to express. Light was shining in his face, and his voice expressed in words appropriate thanksgiving because of the favors received in substantial help from the churches. The donations were much needed to help furnish and fit up the sanitarium. Diary entry for November 26, 1904, San Diego, California. I have not been able to sleep after 1 o'clock a.m. It is Sabbath day. I am this day 77 years old. I have thinking to do, and I have reason to thank the Lord that he has spared my life. I am pleased that the Lord has favored me with his encouraging grace. I have been sick for more than 1 week with influenza. Have kept closely to my room much of the time. I have been repenting during this more than a week of suffering. My throat and lungs have often been under congestion. My cough is hard and dry. I expectorate but little. My labors have been quite taxing, and the Lord has greatly blessed me. During the night season we were in council. After we were planning what we should do, there was one who spoke with clearness and laid out the work that while my life is spared, we shall secure a home for myself and workers, that W.C. White's time and energies need not be divorced from the work being carried forward and upward. The special energies and capabilities are to be exercised to get out the books that are essential for this last time. We were to place ourselves in the very best possible position for health and for clear, bright spirituality. Faith and works are needed now in clear, distinct lines. While light is being given amid the moral darkness, we must gather every distinct ray of light that will substantiate the truth, bearing aloft the banner for these last days, the third angel's message. The churches need to be set in order, the door of unbelief to be closed. The seducing power of Satan, we are told, will increase in such proportions that if it is possible, he will deceive the very elect. Some are not making straight paths for their feet, and in consequence the weak will be turned out of the way. Let every soul take the warnings. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6, 15-18, 11, 14, Galatians 6, verse 1-9, Ephesians 4, verse 1-32, 6, 10-17, 2 Timothy.
There were many words spoken. Some words do not come to my mind until special occasions. Then the words of caution and warning come. I shall have these warnings come to my mind with greater power and force to rescue souls that are in peril, but do not see themselves in any spiritual danger. Diary entry for December 6th, 1904, Los Angeles, California. I cannot sleep this morning after 12 o'clock, midnight. I am grateful to my Heavenly Father that I am entirely free from pain this morning, yet I am weak. I am drawn out in prayer to my Heavenly Father for increased strength, that I may present to the people the most precious and essential truth for this time, and entreat all to preserve the old landmarks that have been searched out and, under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, proclaimed to the world. Many wonderful miracles have been worked in the searching for the truth as for hidden treasure, and the golden treasures of the Word have been substantiated by such remarkable demonstration of the Holy Spirit that all who have had an experience in the work of God since the Bible was opened to our understanding would be sinning against the Holy Ghost to deny the truth. Diary entry for December 26th, 1904, Mountain View, California. I am strongly impressed that my family shall locate here to be near the printing establishment. But the Lord must direct us, for it means a great deal to us to uproot and resettle, and perhaps have to build. St. Helena has been my refuge, but I have much printing to be done. May the Lord spare my life to do this work before I shall rest in the grave, is my prayer. This has been our purpose, to be within a few miles of the printing office. It would save so much travel. St. Helena has been my refuge, although the time I have passed here has been the most intensely filled with anguish of soul that pen and voice could not describe. Diary entry for December 27th, 1904, St. Helena, California. I cannot sleep after 1:30. My mind is intensely active. I would use all the powers of my mind as the Lord's witness and messenger. He has appointed me to keep vividly before the people the great testing truths for this time, because many are blind and deceived, and are making room for Satan to come in and deceive, if possible, by the non-committal position of God's people, the very elect. You say that you have written me several letters, but have not heard from me. I have not been well for some time. I was unfortunate in taking cold when speaking in the large tent at the Omaha, Nebraska, camp meeting. The ground was high and dry, but still I caught cold. I spoke twice at that camp meeting, and succeeded in making the people hear, though at one meeting there were 1,500 present. From Omaha we went to College View. I was unaccustomed to the high winds there, and my cold got no better. I continued to sneeze and cough a great deal, but when I stood before the people, all this ceased. We were well cared for at College View, and all that could be done for our comfort was done. We met many old friends. I was enabled to speak in the church Sabbath, Sunday, and Monday,
I also spoke to the patients and nurses. I did not get free from cold while I was there, and it continued its hold on me all the way home. I went to Battle Creek, as you know, and spoke twice to the patients, and once in the gymnasium to the nurses and helpers. I would have been very glad could I have felt free to remain another week in Battle Creek. I would have done this, but Marion's, Davis, sickness called me home. Her case was a heavy weight on my mind. We received letters every day telling us of her increasing weakness. The thought that I must part with her was a great trial to me. She had been with me for 25 years, and we blended nicely in our work. I knew that if she should die, I could not find another to supply her place. Our ideas in regard to the work were one, and we often talked together. Every word that I spoke to make a point clearer, she would write out at once. I was so thoroughly worn out when I reached home that I feared a severe sickness was coming upon me. We found Marion very weak indeed. She was at the sanitarium, and Mrs. Kellogg, her sister, was with her. Mrs. Kellogg and Sarah, McEnterfer, were with Marion at the time of her death. She passed away very peacefully, and we feel that we can indeed say, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14, verse 13. A few days before her death, we decided to go to Los Angeles, for our tickets were good only till the 3rd of November. We spoke to Dr. Evans about this, and he advised us to go, saying that we could be sent for whenever necessary. We decided to go on Monday, the day before her death, but felt held to remain at home one more day. On Tuesday morning, we received word that she had lost consciousness at about 7 o'clock. We at once decided not to go to Los Angeles that day. She died at 4:30 Tuesday afternoon. The funeral was held the next day. She was laid away in the St. Helena Cemetery. I miss her greatly, and shall continue to, for she was a most faithful and efficient worker. After all was over, we started south, leaving home Friday morning. Hearing that Dr. Hare was in Fresno, we decided to go to Los Angeles that day. We spent Sabbath in Fresno, and I spoke in our church there to a large congregation. The Lord gave me freedom. We intended to go on to Los Angeles Saturday night, but failed to secure accommodations on the train. We decided to go down to the Hanford-Lemoore district and spend the day visiting old friends. When we reached Hanford, we found that a missionary convention was in progress, and I was urged to speak that afternoon. We took dinner with Sister Harvey Gray, and she begged us to remain for 3 or 4 days, saying that I could attend the meetings to be held in the towns nearby and speak to the people. She urged me so strongly to remain that I consented, and I spoke every afternoon for the next 4 days, twice at Hanford, once at Lemoore, and once at Armona. When on my feet before the people, I seemed to be stronger than I have been for years, but when I got home, my strength seemed to leave me. I felt worn out and could not write. From Hanford, we went to Los Angeles, where we stayed over Sabbath and Sunday. We were given rooms in the building above the vegetarian restaurant, but as you know, it is a very noisy part of the city, and I did not sleep well. I spoke on Sabbath and Sunday in the large tent in which Brother Simpson has been holding meetings. On Sabbath, there were 2,500 present, and on Sunday, 1,000. Brother Simpson has been holding tent meetings in Los Angeles for several months, and as a result of his labors, about 100 have taken their stand for the truth. He talks on the prophecies, showing very clearly the reasons of our faith, and explaining the first, second, and third angels' messages. He brings out very distinctly the truth for this time, and this truth is taking hold upon minds. Night after night, the large tent has been crowded, and many have stood on the outside. The Lord has impressed the people in a wonderful manner. The interest that Brother Simpson has aroused is a remarkable one. Many are accepting the truth and are doing all they can to help in the advancement of the truth. Brother Simpson presents the truth just as it was presented in past years. He has a system of charts that is the most perfect thing of its kind that I have ever seen. At his request, I had a long conversation with him, and I know that he is sound on every point of our faith, and that the power of God is with him. I wish that there were 100 where there is one awakened to proclaim the last message to be given to our world. The people are hungry, starving for Bible truth. Brother Simpson makes clear and plain the positions that we have held for so many years. He has portions of his discourses printed, and these leaflets are widely distributed in the city of Los Angeles. Those who have recently accepted the truth have been heartily united in helping to sustain this work, which is self-supporting, and so far, means has come in for all the notices and leaflets that have been sent out. The day after we reached Los Angeles, several of us went out to see the sanitarium building at Glendale. I think you told me that you have seen this building. I think it is well adapted for sanitarium purposes, and that it is in a beautiful location. At present, preparations are being made for the opening of the institution. Bathrooms are being put up, and those who come for treatment will be given good accommodations. I went over the whole building, and I am very much pleased with all the arrangements. The sanitarium has 5 acres of land. I wish there was more land in connection with the building, but still, it is certainly in the country, for there are no buildings very near it. It is surrounded by large fields of strawberries and by orange orchards, and they have enough land to furnish all the patients who wish with outdoor employment, which is of such benefit to those who wish to regain their health. From Los Angeles, we came to San Diego, and for 2 weeks we have been staying in the sanitarium building 5 miles out of San Diego. We find that Brother Palmer has done faithful and economical work in repairing and partly fitting up this building. Preparations are now being hastened for the opening of this institution, for already several persons have expressed themselves as anxious to come here for treatment. It is rather strange to think that I should be the first patient in the building. I have been sick ever since I have been here. I have had a very sore throat and a dry, hard cough, which at times seemed as if it would take away my breath. Sarah has given me thorough treatment, and I am improving, though slowly. The members of the San Diego Church were very anxious to hear me, and I spoke to them the first Sunday after coming here, driving 6 miles there and 6 miles back. But I was so weak that my voice would not come to me, and I spoke for only 15 minutes. I should certainly have fainted in the stand had I remained longer. I had to give up, and have not tried to speak since. I have a beautiful sunny room, but my cough does not seem to leave me. I think the dry atmosphere here affects me as it does in Colorado. Next week we shall go to Los Angeles, and as soon as possible, we shall return to St. Helena. We were surprised to find that so much had already been done toward preparing this building for the reception of patients. By taking advantage of several sales of furniture by wealthy people leaving the district, Brother Palmer secured several lots of first-class furniture at a very low price, and we found more rooms furnished than we had expected to find. The furniture is very good. Some of it is bird's-eye maple, and it is all solid and of the best make. I must not forget to tell you about the well. For some time, the workmen have been busy digging a well on the lower part of the sanitarium ground. When they got down 50 feet, they found a little water. They went down still further, through the clay to the gravel below. Several mornings ago, Brother Palmer came to my room with his face full of joy, and said that the water was flowing into the well in a stream as big as his hand. Just before this, Brother Ballinger, Sister Gotzian, and Willie had gone to Escondido to hold some meetings there in behalf of the sanitarium enterprise. They were very successful, getting donations to the amount of $600, besides 2 good cows and some chickens. They came back well pleased. They returned Tuesday night, and on Wednesday morning Brother Palmer and Willie came to my room and told me that there was 15 feet of water in the well. The next morning there was 18 feet of water, and the workers are pumping hard to get the water out, for they wish to go a few feet further down so as to make a reservoir for the water that flows in. I am so glad that we shall have no dearth of water. The report is that the water in the new well is soft and pure. The old well has never yet gone dry, and at present the house is supplied from this well. I think that when the new well is in operation, there will be water enough for all domestic and irrigating purposes. The view from the west windows of the sanitarium building is beautiful. From them can be seen Paradise Valley, and beyond, the Pacific Ocean. In the evening, when the last rays of the setting sun make a path of gold across the water, the view is especially fine. A week ago last Tuesday, Sarah, Maggie, and I left San Diego and came to Los Angeles. Brother J.A. Burden met us at the station and took us to the restaurant where we had dinner. In the afternoon, we came out to Glendale, to the new sanitarium, where we have been staying ever since. We found much to do, and the brethren have held several important meetings. We are glad to be able to write that the business which has kept us here is closing up. In a board meeting held today, the most difficult point was settled. Brother Simpson resigned his place as manager of the sanitarium and has been appointed purchasing agent for the sanitarium and restaurant. This is the last hard piece of work, and now I am sure that other matters will be easily adjusted, and we shall soon be able to start for home. We shall go to Redlands tomorrow to stay over Sabbath and Sunday. The next week we shall go to Fernando and then to Mountain View. We are pleasantly situated here, but I am longing for home. I do so much want to see you all. Your father has worked very hard and he wants to go home as much as you want him to come. But the nature of the work here demanded our staying for a while. We could not have gone home earlier, for we felt that we must do something to help this sanitarium to get started on right lines. Brother Burden has been chosen as manager of the institution, and Sister Burden as bookkeeper, and we feel sure that they will be fully competent to carry forward successfully their work in connection with the sanitarium. They will labor faithfully and earnestly. But the way had to be prepared so that they could work to advantage. There are, at Redlands, some brethren and sisters who are able to help the institution with their means. We hope to meet these people and to inspire in them such confidence in the management of the sanitarium that they will feel free to give of their means and make liberal loans. The sanitarium is just beginning its work, and it greatly needs this help. The Lord has worked on minds, and a much more favorable condition of things exists here now than has existed for some time. We hope much from this, and we pray much that the Lord may soften hearts by His grace, and that His truth may triumph. I was very sick for 3 weeks after reaching San Diego. I am still weak, but I am slowly growing stronger. I am thankful to our Heavenly Father that He has been gracious to us and has spared my life. I caught cold in some way, and for a long time my throat was very sore. I coughed a great deal. During the time that I was the worst, I kept closely to my room and did not allow anyone to come in but Sarah and Maggie. I isolated myself, fearing that other members of the family might catch the influenza from me. I have not slept well since leaving home, because whether sick or well, I have carried a heavy burden for these two sanitariums in Southern California. The buildings that have been purchased have stood for many years unoccupied, and there has been much to do to fit them up for patients. When we reached Paradise Valley, we found that Brother and Sister Palmer had accomplished a great deal in repairing the building and buying furniture. Nearly half the rooms in the sanitarium are furnished. Brother Palmer found some beautiful furniture for sale by wealthy people leaving the district, and he purchased this furniture for the sanitarium. It is of first-class quality, but cost only as much as cheap furniture. The furniture includes bureaus, washstands, rugs, easy chairs, and a good sideboard for the dining room. We found the workmen busy digging a well on the lower part of the land. This work has gone forward successfully, without incident of any kind. And I am very glad to be able to tell you that a good supply of soft, pure water has been found. The workmen went down 90 feet, and one morning, when they went to work, they found 18 feet of water in the well, with all their tools at the bottom. That morning, Brother Palmer and your father came to my room, their faces lighted up with smiles, to tell me about the water in the well. Oh, I wish you could have seen the joy in their faces. To get the water out of the well was the problem now. The workmen set the pumping engine going at once, but they found that this lowered the water very slowly. So they sent for a larger cylinder and a larger pipe, and finally they got the water pumped out. They dug down a few feet further and then began making a large reservoir to hold the water flowing in. It will be a difficult matter to make this reservoir, but the well digger thoroughly understands his business and is making steady progress. I shall be glad to hear that the work on this new well has all been so successfully accomplished. We hope that you can all see the Paradise Valley Sanitarium sometime, but we are glad that you were not with us this time, for the workmen were busy all over the house, painting the floors and the sides of the rooms and halls, and you would not have found it very enjoyable. When they began painting at San Diego, I was afraid that the smell of the paint might hurt me, so we came to Glendale. And lo, we found the same thing going on here. But so far the smell of the paint has not troubled me at all. There is already one patient in the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. She seems to be a very nice woman. Other patients are waiting and will come as soon as the building is ready. The night before we left, Sarah said to me, "Two more patients came this evening." "Where will they put them?" I asked. "In the barn, I guess," was her answer. Then she explained that these patients were the two cows that someone in San Pasqual had given to the sanitarium. San Pasqual is 30 miles away, and the cows were brought overland in a large wagon drawn by four horses. Your father and some of the brethren visited this place while we were in San Diego, and told the brethren and sisters there about the sanitarium and its needs. As a result, they received quite a little sum of money, some poultry, and these two cows. The workmen at the sanitarium are all cheerful and hardworking. Every morning and evening, they have a season of worship. For a day or two after reaching here, I met with them and enjoyed this privilege very much. The blessing of the Lord rests upon us, and I was very sorry when sickness prevented me from attending. Before we left, Sister Palmer had a touch of influenza, and since reaching here, we have heard that Sister Rathbun, her mother, has come down with it. They feared that Brother Palmer also would take it, but I do not think they caught it from me, for the influenza is going all through San Diego. Children, be helpful to your mother. Obey her word promptly, and the Lord will bless you. God said, "I know Abraham that he will," coax, no, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." God expects parents to bring their children up to obey him. Should your father and mother allow you to do wrong things without correcting you, they would displease God. Those parents who allow children to have their own way are neglecting their children. Many parents indulge their children and thus encourage habits that ought to be corrected. Unless these habits are corrected, the children will grow up with unlovely, disagreeable characters. God wants you, Henry and Herbert, to behave like little gentlemen. When you speak kind words and do right deeds, you are forming characters that God can approve. He will be pleased to call you the lambs of his flock, and he will bless you. The angels of heaven are guarding and guiding you constantly, always keeping you from harm and danger. I pray that your words and acts may be such that God can look upon them with approval. Dear children, do not allow yourselves to do one wrong act. Your father and mother love you, but they cannot love wrongdoing. They are made very sorry when you do wrong. Will you not try to remember this? Will you not try to overcome all your faults because you love Jesus, who gave his life for you? Indulgence hurts the characters of children and makes them such as God cannot approve. Your father and mother are trying to bring you up to be unselfish, truthful, kind, tender-hearted. They want to help you to prepare for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for you. He has promised to come again and take you to himself, that where he is, there you may be also. Then put away every fault and prepare yourselves to be received into the heavenly home, where you will be happy forever and ever. I have a pile of letters partially written, and I have been looking them over to see which ought to be copied, but I have now laid them all aside to write to you. Willie, Sarah, Maggie — Sarah McEnderfer was Ellen White's nurse and secretary. Maggie Hare was one of her literary assistants. And I have been in Southern California for 6 weeks. From College View, I returned to Battle Creek, in fulfillment of my promise. I remained there a week, and then started home. You will remember that while I was at College View, I caught a severe cold. I did not get rid of this cold, and I was thoroughly exhausted when I reached home. We remained in St. Helena for 3 weeks, and during this time we buried Marion. Marion Davis, Ellen White's faithful bookmaker. I cannot tell you how keenly I felt, and continue to feel, the loss of my faithful helper, whom I so highly prized. On our way to Los Angeles, we called at Fresno and spent the Sabbath there. I spoke to our people on Sabbath afternoon. We were unable to get accommodations on the train going from Fresno to Los Angeles Saturday evening, so we decided to spend Sunday in Hanford, visiting old friends. On arriving there, we found a series of meetings in progress. We took dinner with Sister Gray, Sister Haskell's sister. She urged us so strongly to remain with her for 3 or 4 days and attend the meetings to be held in the different places near there that we consented. Sister Gray gave us a very hearty welcome to her home, and we had a pleasant time there. She has, as you know, a large fruit ranch, and she has been successful in her work. She took us driving several times. It had been years since we visited Hanford, and I was glad to see our old friends again. I was glad of the opportunity of speaking to the people in the Hanford-Lemoore district, and I decided to bring before them the needs of the Southern work, and especially the needs of the Huntsville School. This I did, and Willie also made earnest appeals for the work in the South. I spoke twice in Hanford, once in Lemoore, and once in Armona. I presented the Word of God just as it reads. In each place the attendance was good. I had freedom in speaking. When on my feet before the people, I seemed to be stronger than I had been for years. But when I got back to the house again, my strength seemed to leave me. I felt worn out and could not write. The first day, after speaking, I rode 5 miles to Sister Gray's, and I got chilled. This added to my cold. From Hanford, we went to Los Angeles, where we stayed over Sabbath and Sunday. We had rooms in the restaurants building, but, as you know, this is in a very noisy part of the city, and I did not sleep well. I spoke on Sabbath and Sunday in the large tent in which Brother Simpson has been holding meetings. The Lord helped me to speak, and all present seemed to be much interested. The day after we reached Los Angeles, several of us went out to see the sanitarium building at Glendale. This building is well adapted for sanitarium purposes and is in a beautiful location. At present, preparations are being made as fast as possible for the opening of the institution. Treatment rooms have been put up, and almost all the rooms in the house have been repainted. From Los Angeles, we went to San Diego, where we stayed for 3 weeks. We stayed at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium, which is also being fitted up for the reception of patients. We found that Brother Palmer had done faithful and economical work in repairing and partly fitting up this building. Preparations for the opening of the institution were being hastened forward, for several persons had already expressed themselves as anxious to enter the institution for treatment. We were somewhat surprised to find that so much had already been done toward preparing this building for work. By taking advantage of several sales of furniture by wealthy persons leaving the district, Brother Palmer secured several lots of first-class furniture at a very low price, and we found about half the rooms furnished. It is rather strange that I should be the first patient in the building. I was sick all the time I was there. I had a very sore throat and a dry, hard cough, which at times seemed as if it would take away my breath. Sarah gave me thorough treatment, and I was somewhat better when we left San Diego. I must not forget to tell you about the well. When we reached the sanitarium, we found that the workmen had gone down about 80 feet in digging a well on the lower part of the sanitarium land. They had already found a little water, but expected to find much more. They were going to dig down still further, through the clay to the gravel below. One evening, Brother Palmer came to my room with his face full of joy, to tell me that the water was flowing into the well in a stream as big as his hand. The next morning, Willie and Brother Palmer came up early to tell me that there was 14 feet of water in the well. The water is soft and pure, and we are greatly rejoiced to know that there is an abundant supply. This well is a treasure more valuable than gold or silver or precious stones. We left San Diego about 10 days ago and came to Los Angeles, where we spent a few days at the Glendale Sanitarium. From there, we went to Redlands, where we are now. Redlands is about 65 miles from Los Angeles. We are staying with Brother and Sister Ballinger. A series of tent meetings was held recently both in Redlands and in Riverside, and a church was raised up in each place. Brother Ballinger was anxious that I should speak to the believers in these two places. This morning I spoke in the Redlands Church. I spoke for 30 minutes, and could have spoken longer, but dared not venture. This is the first time that I have been able to speak in public for 4 weeks. I wish you could see this country. To me, it is something like Melrose, though in some respects not nearly so lovely. There are some very large orange and lemon groves here, and just now these groves are a beautiful sight, for the trees are covered with the golden fruit. The climate in this valley is very good. I think that the locality where you are is an excellent one, and for some things, I should prefer it to this place. I admire the large trees on the school farm very much. The school farm has many advantages, and I have great hopes that our brethren in the South may be able to see that this farm is the place for a sanitarium. It is not 1 mile too far from Nashville. I do hope that Brethren Hayward and Hansen may decide that it is the best place on which to establish the sanitarium. The sanitarium and the school could blend together and be help to one another. Then, too, it would be a saving of money. I have hoped that the place which Edson has just left might be used for a colored sanitarium. It is really needed for this purpose. I have no hesitation in saying that I think that a part of the school farm would be the best place for the white sanitarium. Perhaps you can place before our brethren there the suggestions I have made regarding this, and then they can decide for themselves the other matters that would need to be decided, such as the distance between the school and the sanitarium. I know the Lord will give you all counsel if you will ask Him for it and will open your hearts to receive the Holy Spirit.
Sunday morning. I praise the Lord with a thankful heart, for I slept well during the night. This morning we shall drive to Riverside, a distance of 15 miles, and I shall try to speak to the church there. Our people in that place need help, and I pray that God will give me words for them. We shall return to Los Angeles tomorrow. Brother Palmer has written for us to meet him there. He is coming up from San Diego to meet his two eldest children, who are coming from the East. I cannot write more now. I hope that you are all well and trusting in the Lord. If ever there was a time when we needed to pray, it is now. Let us be of good courage in God and move forward in faith. With love to you all. Letter 392, 1904. Pages 1 to 3 and any pages following page 7 are missing. To dear brethren and sisters in Australia, December 21, 1904, from Elmshaven. From Glendale, we went to San Diego, where we spent 3 weeks at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. I think I have told you before about this property. It consists of a 50-room house and 30 acres of land, and cost the original owners $50,000. 3 years ago, it was offered to us for $15,000. We could not then see our way clear to purchase it, though we realized that it would be an excellent place for a sanitarium. The next year it was offered to us for $12,000. Still, we delayed purchasing, and about a year ago we bought it for $5,500. The building has been standing unoccupied for a good many years and was in need of some repairs. About 8 months ago, Brother Palmer went there to take charge of the work for a time, and when we reached the sanitarium at the time of our recent visit, we were pleasantly surprised to see how much he and his wife and their helpers had done in getting the building ready for the reception of patients. By taking advantage of sales of furniture by wealthy people leaving the district, Brother Palmer secured several lots of first-class furniture at a very low price, and we found about half the rooms in the building furnished. A scarcity of water was the only thing against the properties being used as sanitarium. The country is suffering from a long drought,
and as the trees on the place had not been watered, many of them were dead when we bought it. There was one well. A new windmill was bought, and this well has supplied the house with water for several months. It has never been pumped dry, but it was feared that it would not supply sufficient water for the requirements of a sanitarium, so the men were set to work to dig another well on the lower part of the land. When we reached there, they had gone down about 80 feet and had already found some water. They were going down still further, through the clay to the gravel below. One evening, Brother Palmer came to my room, his face lighted up with joy, to tell me that a stream of water as big as his hand was running into the well. The next morning early, Brother Palmer and Willie came in saying that there was 14 feet of water in the well. I wish you could have seen the joy in their faces. To get the water out of the well was the next problem, so that the workmen could dig a few feet further down. They set the pumping engine going, but found that this lowered the water very slowly. So they got a larger cylinder and a larger pipe, and finally got the water pumped out. Then they dug down a few feet further, and when we left San Diego, they were making a large reservoir at the bottom of the well to hold the water flowing in. The making of this reservoir will be a difficult matter, but the well digger thoroughly understands his business and makes steady progress. The water is soft and pure, and there will be an abundant supply both for domestic and irrigating purposes. Oh, how we rejoice to know this! This well is a treasure of more value than gold or silver or precious stones. There was one patient at the sanitarium before we left, although the building was not yet ready for opening. Others are waiting to enter just as soon as the institution is opened. The night before we left, Sarah said to me, "Two more patients came this evening." "Where will they put them?" I asked, for the house was being repainted inside and was in no condition for patients. "In the barn, I suppose," was her answer. She then explained that these patients were the two cows that someone in San Pasqual has given to the sanitarium. San Pasqual is 30 miles from San Diego, and the cows were brought overland in a large wagon. The week before, Willie and some of the brethren had visited San Pasqual and told our people there about the needs of the sanitarium, and as the result, they received about $600 in donations and these two cows.
I was sick all the time that I was in San Diego. I was worn out when I left home, and I must have caught cold on the way down. I coughed a great deal, sometimes so hard that it seemed as if my breath would go. I kept closely to my room, for I did not wish to expose anyone else. I am thankful to say that I am gradually recovering. The Lord is giving me physical and mental strength, and for this I praise His holy name. On our return from San Diego, we spent a few days at the Glendale Sanitarium. We found the house filled with painters, plumbers, and carpenters. Preparations for the opening of the institution were being hastened forward. Those in charge of the work hope that the opening may take place early in January. From there, we went to Redlands, a town about 65 miles from Los Angeles. Tent meetings were held recently in Redlands and Riverside, and in each place a church was raised up. The brethren were anxious that I should speak to the believers in these places. Brother Ballinger and wife have a nice little cottage in this place, where we were accommodated. On Sabbath morning, I spoke in the Redlands Church. At the close, I spoke of the Glendale Sanitarium and of the need of means with which to begin the work. That evening, another meeting was held in behalf of the sanitarium, and $275 was subscribed. On Sunday morning, I drove to Riverside, a distance of 15 miles, and spoke in the church there. The Lord gave me strength and freedom. Several times since leaving home, I began letters to you. But before these letters were finished, I was called to attend council meetings or to speak to the people in public, and so my letters were never completed. I greatly desire to see among our people that general arousing that there should be in every church. I am grateful to our Heavenly Father that the Warunga Sanitarium is doing good work. May the Lord bestow His most precious blessing upon this institution. I will try to send you copies of letters that may be of interest to you. In the night season, I was talking with you. I had some things to say to you on the diet question. I was talking freely with you, telling you that you would have to make changes in your ideas in regard to the diet
to be given those who come to the sanitarium from the world. These people have lived improperly, on rich food. They are suffering as a result of indulgence of appetite. A reform in their habits of eating and drinking is needed. But this reform cannot be made all at once. The change must be made gradually. The health foods set before them must be appetizing. All their lives, perhaps, they have had 3 meals a day and have eaten rich food. It is an important matter to reach these people with the truths of health reform. But in order to lead them to adopt a sensible diet, you must set before them an abundant supply of wholesome, appetizing food. Changes must not be made so abruptly that they will be turned from health reform instead of being led to it. The food served to them must be nicely prepared, and it must be richer than either you or I would eat. I write this because something needs to be done to set forth the principles of true health reform. Have you a cook who can prepare dishes that the patients cannot help but see are an improvement on the diet to which they have been accustomed? The one who does the cooking in a sanitarium should be able to make wholesome, appetizing food combinations. And these food combinations must necessarily be somewhat richer than you or I would eat. I write this because I am sure that the Lord means you to have tact in meeting the people where they are, in their darkness and self-indulgence. As far as I am concerned personally, I am decidedly in favor of a plain, simple diet. But it will not be best to put worldly, self-indulgent patients on a diet so strict that they will be turned from health reform. This will not convince them of the need of a change in their habits of eating and drinking. Tell them the facts. Educate them to see the need of a plain, simple diet and make the change gradually. Give them time to respond to the treatment and the instruction given them. Work and pray, and lead them along as gently as possible. I remember once at Summer Hill, when at the sanitarium there, I was urged to sit at the table with the patients and eat with them, that we might become acquainted. I saw then that a decided mistake was being made in the preparation of the food. It was put together in such a way that it was tasteless, and there was not more than 2/3 enough. I found it impossible to make a meal that would satisfy my appetite. I tried to bring about a different order of things, and I think that matters were helped. In dealing with the patients in our sanitariums, we must reason from cause to effect. We must remember that the habits and practices of a lifetime cannot be changed in a moment. With an intelligent cook and an abundant supply of wholesome food, reforms can be brought about that will work well, but it may take time to bring them about. A strenuous effort should not be made unless it is actually demanded. We must remember that food which would be appetizing to a health reformer might be very insipid to those who have been accustomed to highly seasoned food. Lectures should be given explaining why reforms in diet are essential and showing that the use of highly seasoned food caused inflammation of the delicate lining of the digestive organs. Let it be shown why we as a people have changed our habits of eating and drinking. Show why we discard tobacco and all intoxicating liquor. Lay down the principles of health reform clearly and plainly. And with this, let there be placed on the table an abundance of wholesome food, tastefully prepared. And the Lord will help you to make impressive the urgency of reform, and will lead them to see that this reform is for their highest good. They will miss the highly seasoned food to which they have been accustomed, but an effort must be made to give them food that is so wholesome and so appetizing that they will cease to miss the unwholesome dishes. Show them that the treatment given them will not benefit them unless they make the needed change in their habits of eating and drinking. The principles of health reform are of the greatest importance and should be sacredly cherished by us as a people. It pains me to see that there are among us ministers who, though supposed to be health reformers, are such only in name. Often worldlings are found to be more ready to reform than are many of the members of our churches. If those who have had the light for so many years are not willing to walk in this light, how can we expect those who have had no experience in the truth to make an entire change at once in their habits of living? I write you this, that you may make it as easy as possible for those who come to the sanitarium knowing nothing of health reform from a Bible standpoint. Again, we must remember that there are a great many different minds in the world, and we cannot expect everyone to see exactly as we do in regard to all questions of diet. Minds do not run in exactly the same channel. I do not eat butter, but there are members of my family who do. It is not placed on my table, but I make no disturbance because some members of my family choose to eat it occasionally. Many of our conscientious brethren have butter on their tables, and I feel under no obligation to force them to do otherwise. These things should never be allowed to cause disturbance among brethren. I cannot see the need of butter where there is an abundance of fruit and of sterilized cream. Those who love and serve God should be allowed to follow their own convictions. We may not feel justified in doing as they do, but we should not allow differences of opinion to create disunion. May the Lord help us to be as firm as a rock to the principles of the law spoken from Sinai, and may He help us not to allow differences of opinion to be a barrier between us and our brethren. From a copy of a letter that I am sending you, you will see what is being done in Southern California in regard to opening up the Glendale Sanitarium and the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. We feel very grateful to God that these two new institutions can be placed in operation. I spent 3 weeks at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium, but was sick all the time. I contracted a severe cold on my way down there. In order that the others in the building might not be exposed, I kept very closely to my own room. The day before I left, Brother and Sister Richardson insisted on seeing me, that they might tell me of the many advantages that Jamaica possesses for sanitarium work. I certainly hope that this field may be entered by earnest laborers. I shall not attempt to tell you what Brother and Sister Richardson told me, for I was sick at the time and could not hear all they said. You will be glad to know that we have obtained an ample supply of water for the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. The scarcity of water was the one thing against the place. Some time ago, workmen began digging a well on the lower part of the sanitarium land. They went down 80 feet, and one evening Brother Palmer came to my room to tell me that a stream of water as large as his hand was running into the well. The next morning early, he and Willie came to my room to tell me that there was 14 feet of water in the well. The water is soft and pure. This well is a treasure more valuable than gold or silver or precious stones. Now that water has been secured, the sanitarium will, with the blessing of God, prove a success. There will be water enough for domestic and irrigating purposes. There are a number of olive trees on the place, and these can now be saved. The work is going forward in Los Angeles. As the result of the labors of Brother Simpson, 125 have embraced the truth. Brother Simpson explains the prophecies very clearly, showing plainly that the end is near. Several Catholics have been converted to the faith. The contributions taken have covered all expenses. The Lord certainly works with Brother Simpson. I wish there were 100 such workers in the field, giving the last warning message to the world and winning souls to Christ. We are home again, and I am much pleased to be once more in my quiet retreat. For many months I have had no time to get rested. During the last year we have spent only 5 months in our pleasant home. Since last April, I have been traveling constantly and have spoken in public in a great many places. I have at times been greatly wearied, but when standing before the people, I have realized the keeping power of God. When I opened my lips to speak, the Holy Spirit would come upon me, and the Lord strengthened me as His witness. Everywhere I have gone, I have borne testimony that the truth which I now proclaim is the same that the Lord gave me after the passing of the time in 1844. We hold today the same unchangeable Bible truths that we held then, and these truths we are now to proclaim with greater assurance than at any previous period of our experience. We have the same message to repeat, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. As I speak the words the Lord has given me to speak, the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth. The Lord Jesus presides in our assemblies, and our hearts are filled with a yearning desire for the conversion of souls. There is a great work to be done in our cities, many of which have as yet been scarcely touched. In Los Angeles, a good work has been going forward. Elder Simpson has been holding meetings in a large tent pitched near the business part of the city. Thousands have come to hear him, and he has proclaimed the truth with power, beseeching sinners to be reconciled to God. As a result of these meetings, a large number have been baptized. These are from all denominations. Some of them were Catholics. Elder Simpson explains the prophecies by the means of charts and makes it very plain that the end of all things is at hand. In some cases, entire families have taken their stand to obey God, as in 1844. All are brought over the ground from the beginning, and many believe as the prophecies relating to the past, present, and future are explained. Jewelry, which cost many hundreds of dollars, has been given to Elder Simpson to be sold for the cause. There is no spirit of excitement in this movement. No fanaticism attends it. The truth takes hold of hearts, and men and women give their rings and bracelets, although no call has been made for them to strip themselves of these idols. The work is earnest and quiet. The people take off their jewelry of their own free will and bring it to Elder Simpson as an offering up of their idols. Elder Simpson held meetings in Redlands and Riverside also, and a church was raised up in each of these places. Much interest was shown in the meetings, and souls were brought to a knowledge of the truth. But these two places have not received as much labor as Los Angeles, and more work needs to be done in them. Elder Simpson closed his second series of tent meetings in Los Angeles when we were there a few weeks ago. But the people were not willing to let this teacher of the gospel leave them, and he received a petition signed by a great many, urging that he hold another series of meetings. The question as to whether he will do this is now under consideration. Meanwhile, he must take a rest for a few weeks. The Lord will let light shine upon his path to show him what to do next. The work that has been accomplished in Los Angeles by means of these tent meetings is what we may expect to see done in many places. The work has certainly borne the divine credentials. In the reception of the truth, all are not exercised in the same way. In some cases, the impression comes in the acknowledgement of their convictions and their determination to leave their sinful life. And they can speak and pray in social meetings. Then, a more persuasive work is done in leading others to be reconciled to God. His going forth is prepared as the morning. The word of truth has made a deep impression upon minds, and a large number have taken their stand to obey the Lord's requirements. The Holy Spirit has borne witness to the efforts put forth. The great need now is personal labor with those who are newly converted. Wise men and women are needed to give counsel and encouragement and to hold Bible readings, confirming the faith of those who have recently taken their stand. While in Southern California, I spent 3 weeks at San Diego, in the new sanitarium in Paradise Valley, which is soon to be opened for the reception of patients. The lack of water was the only thing against the use of this place for sanitarium purposes. I am glad to be able to tell you that an abundant supply of soft, pure water has been obtained. A well 95 feet deep has been dug on the lower part of the sanitarium land. When the workmen had gone down about 80 feet, they found some water, and they went on digging through the clay to the gravel below. One morning, Brother Palmer came to my room, his face full of joy, to tell us that a stream of water as big as his hand was running into the well. The next morning, there was 14 feet of water in the well. We all rejoiced to know that an abundance of water was now a certainty. This well is a treasure of more value than gold or silver or precious stones. After leaving San Diego, we spent several days at the Glendale Sanitarium, 8 miles from Los Angeles. We found the house filled with painters, plumbers, and carpenters. Preparations for the opening of the building were being hastened forward. I rejoice to think that these two sanitariums will soon be opened. I have felt a great burden for the advancement of sanitarium work in Southern California. I borrowed money to invest in the San Diego property, that it might be secured. I would be glad to see a large work developed in Redlands. This is a most beautiful city, and additional efforts must be put forth there. Brother Ballinger lives there, and we spent several days with him and his wife at their home. I was able to speak to our people in Redlands on Sabbath morning. I spoke in the tasteful little church building that was built last spring, and as I stood in it, I was in anticipation making an addition to it. If Redlands is worked as it should be, a larger church building will be required, and I wish that a small sanitarium could be started there. The dinner bell is ringing and I must go. Later. I will now try to finish your letter. Willie visited your brother, Oswald Stowell. I wanted very much to go with him, but was too sick to leave my room. On my way to Southern California, I did much public speaking, at one time speaking every day for 4 days in succession. I caught a severe cold, and I was sick all the time I was in San Diego. Sister Marion Davis's death was felt very keenly by me. On our return from the East, we found her very sick. About a week after our return, she rallied, and for a few days we hoped for her recovery. But she failed very suddenly and died October 25th. We had planned to go to Los Angeles the day before, but felt that we must remain at home a day longer. We were very glad that we had decided thus, for the next morning at 7 o'clock, Marion lost consciousness, and she passed away at 4:30 that day. She was buried in the St. Helena Cemetery. On Friday morning, we left home for Southern California. On the way down, I caught a severe cold, from which I have not yet recovered. In closing, I wish to ask you if you can lend me the $1,000 for which I asked you several months ago. I will give you 6% interest. I am in great need of money to help in getting out Ministry of Healing. If you can do me this favor, let me know as soon as possible. I have just finished reading over the proofs of Ministry of Healing. We hope that this book will be out before General Conference. I will send you a copy as soon as I receive some from the press. If you is now at Mountain View, helping on ministry. When he is not there, other things are allowed to come in, and the work on my book goes very slowly. Ella White is still at Reno, Nevada. Her school closes this week. One of the public schools there wants her to teach in its primary division for a few weeks. I think that she will. Mabel is now at Paradise Valley, San Diego. She left here last Thursday, and on her way to San Diego, she called at Mountain View and spent a few hours with her father. At Los Angeles, she spent a little time at the Glendale Sanitarium. I expect to receive a letter from her soon, saying that she reached San Diego safely.
The sanitarium at Glendale is well filled with patients. The managers think that they will have to put up a building near the sanitarium so as to provide more accommodations for patients. Many more are desirous of coming to the sanitarium, but there is no room for them. Those in charge of the sanitarium are perplexed to know how to take care of the patients already there. Brother Burden is manager of the institution. Sister Burden is the bookkeeper. Dr. Abby Weiniger Simpson is lady physician. She has charge of the training class. Nora Lacey is head nurse, and she assists in the classwork. A few days ago, I received a letter from Brother Burden saying that all is moving forward harmoniously and that more room is needed. Brother Burden writes that since rain has fallen in such abundance in Los Angeles County, the property for which they paid $12,500 could not be purchased for $20,000. Property has gone up 1/3 higher than it was before the rain came. We are so glad that our brethren were able to purchase the Glendale Sanitarium for so low a price. It is an imposing building and is situated in a very pleasant location. The Paradise Valley Sanitarium is full of patients also, and those in charge will be obliged to provide more room for the accommodation of those who are coming in. Yesterday I had a letter from Brother Ballinger, the manager of the institution, in which he says that all the rooms in the building are filled and that there are 8 more persons who desire to come for treatment. As yet, no advertising at all has been done, and yet the patients continue to come. I meant to have had Brother Ballinger's letter copied so that I might send it to you, but it was sent on to Willie. Brother Ballinger is holding Bible studies and prayer meetings in the sanitarium, and he writes that the patients are showing much interest in these meetings. The day that he wrote the letter, 20 of the patients attended the morning service. At this service, there is singing and then reading and prayer.
Brother Ballinger said that all but one of the patients bowed in prayer. A deep impression is being made by these meetings, and we hope that souls will be converted. The Paradise Valley Sanitarium cost the original owners $25,000. The main building cost $25,000, but the total investment in land and buildings was $50,000. See pages 241, 260. Almost all the rooms are furnished with a marble washstand. Water is laid on all over the house. The rooms are beautifully arranged and are very airy. There are broad verandas around two sides of the house. The building stands on a high rise of ground, and the lawns and gardens were once very beautiful. Many of the ornamental trees died during the long drought, but this year a good supply of rain has fallen, and all the lawns are green again. We purchased this building, with 20 acres of land, for $5,000. Since then, 8 acres of land have been bought for $800. There is a piece of property adjoining, consisting of 10 acres of orange orchard, a packing house, a dwelling house, and a large barn. This property was offered for $3,500, and we may buy it if it can still be secured for this price. In order to do this, I should have to borrow money, but I do not think that the property ought to be allowed to pass into the hands of worldlings. I thank the Lord for these two sanitariums in Southern California, and I am sure that their influence for good can be made far-reaching. San Diego is becoming more and more popular as a health resort. We went to considerable expense in digging a well on the sanitarium land. The diggers went down 90 feet and found an abundant supply of soft, pure water. This water is pumped into a large tank placed on the highest elevation of the property, and from there carried all over the grounds. I was at the sanitarium when the well was being dug, and we were all intensely interested in the progress made by the diggers. One morning, Brother Palmer came to my room to tell me that the water was coming into the well in a stream as big as his arm. The next morning, he told me that there was 15 feet of water in the well. So we knew that success was ours. Soon after this, the rain began to fall, after a drought of 5 years, and it fell in abundance, refreshing the dry, thirsty country. We are indeed grateful to our Heavenly Father for this great blessing. I wish that you could leave New York and make me a visit. We could find employment for you where you could be a decided help in the work and cause of God. I think the time has come when we should be where we could see each other now and then. A few weeks ago, I lost my housekeeper, Mrs. Nelson, who had been with me for nearly 4 years. She was faithful and true in her work, and a real caretaker. I shall never find a housekeeper who will suit me better. But she desired to finish the nurse's course, which she began in Battle Creek 4 years ago. Then, too, her husband, from whom she has been separated for 6 years, wishes to come back to her. Had I urged it, Mrs. Nelson might have stayed with me, but I could not have done this. It would not have been right. It would have been selfish for me to say, "I cannot part with you." Well, children, this is just a little of my recent experience. I may not attend the general conference. I have a large amount of work to do in selecting from the signs and the review articles written by my husband and myself many years ago to be reprinted in book form, that our experiences in the third angel's message may be kept fresh in the minds of our people. April 11th. I wrote the foregoing pages yesterday. This morning I found a letter from Willie under my door, saying that he will leave Mountain View on Wednesday for Los Angeles to attend important conference meetings in Fernando. After this, he will visit San Diego. There are important questions to be decided in regard to providing greater facilities for the accommodation of patients. This is most important medical missionary work to be done in our sanitariums. May the Lord help us and teach us and enable us to be a blessing to others. Elder Corliss will attend the meeting at Fernando. I think that he is improving in health. He can still do excellent work in evangelistic lines. I must now close this letter. But I want you to consider whether you would not be glad to engage in some line of work in direct connection with the cause of God. Do you not desire to aid in proclaiming the truth that all need to understand? May the Lord bless you both and keep you, and make you a blessing to others. I will begin a letter to you. I should have written before, but many things have been urged upon me, and I dared not neglect them. It seemed there was no end to my work. But I will now write you a few lines. We have been very busy getting off mail. I am up early this morning and have begun this letter to you. The weather is very mild in this part of California. We had soft, gentle showers every day for 2 weeks. For 3 days I have had no fire in my large office room. I do not have a stove in my room, but an open fireplace which is perfect in its construction. I am generally up hours before any other member of my family. On rising, I build my fire, take a bath in cold water before the fire, and then, after my praying season, take my pen in hand, and from 2 o'clock until 7, write many pages. We have family prayers just before breakfast, which is at 7:30. I generally retire at 7 o'clock in the evening. My workers are still with me. The office in which they work is just a few steps from the house. I can open my window and speak to those to whom I wish to speak concerning my writings. The office has in it 8 rooms. Every worker using a typewriter has a room by himself, as the noise of the machine would disturb the other workers. My sister, I wish you could have been here this winter. It has been more like summer than winter. I feel an intense interest for you all, that your children and your children's children may understand the Word of God, and so prepare for the Lord's coming. I have been writing to Rebecca Winslow and Francis Howland. They were among our best friends. They took care of Henry when he was a little child, and our family and their family were one. This is the first letter I have addressed to them for 20 years. Recently they sent me a very handsome shawl, and I thought I would acknowledge the receipt of it and send them a letter. I ought to have written them long ago. Ella Mae White, Willie's daughter, has been married to Doris Robinson. At the time of their marriage, they were helping me in the preparation of matter for the press. Ella did not do this work, but Doris did. He is a clear, intelligent speaker. He will be ordained at the first good opportunity. His father is one of our first-class workers in the ministry. His mother has been a diligent worker with her husband, giving Bible readings and doing efficient work in the Sabbath school.
All unexpected to me, the superintendent of our church schools came from Chico a few months ago and urged Doris and Ella to come to Chico to take charge of the school there. The teacher had left, and those in charge of the schoolwork wanted Doris and Ella May to engage in the work of teaching until the close of the term. We wished them both to engage in the work of teaching, for Ella May had taught before, and her work had given much satisfaction. So we decided, as both had been teachers, that they could work together nicely. They have now been teaching for 3 months, and the school is increasing in numbers. Ella teaches the younger children, and Doris the older ones. All the parents feel well satisfied with their work. There is a church of our people in Chico, and both Ella and Doris take an active part in church work. Mabel White is in the sanitarium near San Diego, filling the position of a nurse. She wants to become a nurse, but I shall object. As soon as they can get others to take her place, we want her to have a rest. Willie's family have a home near me. He has but recently returned from a 3-month trip in the eastern states. We expect to go to Southern California very soon to visit Loma Linda and San Diego. The sanitariums at both of these places are to be dedicated about the middle of April. They are well patronized. A large addition has just been built to the one near San Diego. A lady by the name of Potts built the main building of this institution, and this one building cost $25,000. It is a grand building. Water was very scarce in that section of the country. The orange groves were drying up, and some of them were past recover. At last we obtained the building and 22 acres of land and a 5-room cottage for $5,000. A woman of means united with me in securing this property. After getting the building, we were determined to have a well dug to supply water. When the men had gone down 90 feet, they struck a spring of pure water. Bathrooms had to be provided, so we set about that. This cost about $15,000, but we now have a most desirable and presentable building. When it is all furnished, it will make a beautiful sanitarium
and we will have every convenience. We have all the water we need now, even though it does not rain. The atmosphere is very healthful in this locality. I was very sorry my health was so poor when you were with us. I feared I was near the close of my life. I have refused to speak in our churches for months because of the danger from impure air. Again and again I have nearly lost my life addressing people indoors. But my life has been spared because my work was not done. But I am writing. Writing now because there is a time of trouble just before us, which we all must meet. This is why I carry the burden I do. For souls are in peril. I do want to save every soul that I possibly can, for if we can save them, they will live through the ceaseless ages of eternity. This is why I have traveled so much to bear my testimony before thousands. I know that the instruction I receive is given me of God, and I would not forbear giving it to the people. I must speak the words I am given to speak. I must soon go to Southern California to visit Los Angeles, Glendale, Loma Linda, and San Diego. We must get our work started in Redlands and Riverside. Elder Haskell and wife will open the work there, but we must help them to start it. When I was in the East, after coming from Washington, where I was severely taxed, I spoke in a tent in Philadelphia. There were appointments out for meetings in Middletown, and I was to visit Battle Creek. The weakness upon me after addressing the people was such that private conversation was next to impossible. I shall now be extremely careful if I can. My sister, you are older than I, and we are the only members of our family who are spared. I do not want to be obliged to travel much. I am waiting my summons to give up my work and rest in the grave. I do not choose to live longer than the Lord sees fit to have me live. I pray the Lord to let His light shine into the hearts of my relatives, that they shall know the Lord, that His going forth is prepared as the morning. I shall now say farewell. I will try to be more faithful than I have been in writing to you. Be of good courage, dear sister. I believe I shall meet you when our warfare is accomplished. May the Lord bless you and keep you and sanctify you to Himself. I wish I could see Ellen and talk with her. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, April 11th, 1985. Letter 393, 1904. The White Estate acquired letters 393 and 394, 1904, after Ms. Ree. Number 1115 was prepared. Therefore, they appear at the end of this document, rather than in their chronological order. April, 1986. Written to Ella May and Mabel White, November 18, 1904, from San Diego, California. I wrote you a couple of pages yesterday. The weather is good, and if we had showers, this climate would be very greatly improved. Our workman is now digging A, well, and curbs as he goes on with his work. I tell you, it seemed rather perilous as he was let down with a windlass 75 feet. He thinks he must go 10 feet deeper. We think there will be plenty of water, fresh, sweet, and pure. The workers are urging themselves from point to point of the work as rapidly as possible. This is a large, well-arranged house and a sanitarium that in many respects is perfect. The treatment rooms are in need of some improvements. The parlor is a good-sized, pleasant room, and open doors into a second parlor dining room, sufficiently ample for all the tables needed for a long time. The room which I occupy is one of the best on this floor. The one Sister Gotzian occupies is above mine, third story, of same size and convenience. Bedrooms all made convenient. Marble washbowls in nearly all the rooms in the house. Pipes connected. I cannot give all particulars. I am sick. Taken sick last week with severe cold several days ago, and have coughed a great deal. My lungs seem to be congested, but the throat is the worst. I am sorry, because the people could not hear me speak last Sabbath and Sunday. They were so earnest that I rode 6 miles to San Diego Sunday, but my throat was so congested I could not have voice to speak but 20 minutes. I am coughing and raising, phlegm, and the Lord has graciously sustained me. Your father is in council meetings daily.
It means much to start up with preparation for new building. It is partially now furnished. I have wished myself at home many times, but dared not go. We will go back next Sabbath and Sunday to Los Angeles and see about the preparations that shall be required for that sanitarium. It is some larger than this one and is well located. Everything seems to be satisfactory. It is now having the treatment rooms by carrying up, building on one end and extra, going up 3 stories. There are already set a couple of bathtubs in each story. These will be arranged in the new rooms of the building. One very convenient matter is that the railway comes very nigh the building, which car fare is only 10 cents a passage to Los Angeles. This building, in the providence of God, was purchased for $12,000. The price was much larger, dare not state precisely. In margin, tell particularly. Your father, Sister Gotzian, Brother Ballinger, left for spaces blank, to see if he could borrow some money. November 23rd. Your father returned last night. We have found an earnest working company hard at work fitting up the house, painting, calcimining, and painting while there is a party at work all the time in the pumping plant building. They have gone down, down, many feet, 90 feet. They go 10 more. But yesterday evening, Brother Palmer came in my room saying, "You will be glad to hear that there is a large vein of water struck." They had to work patiently to get through the clay. Then they struck the gravel again, but left all their tools as usual in the well. November 24th, 1904. Your father has returned from spaces blank. He has received for the sanitarium 2 excellent cows and hens for the sanitarium, and there was collected $600 in gifts to help furnish the sanitarium. This is good thus far, but shall need more gifts and shall, I think, obtain more. Your father is working with all his capabilities, and that is why he has neglected to write you. I believe we shall see this sanitarium prosper. I would be pleased to see Mabel in a position here. Brother and Sister Palmer will be pleased to have you here in some position of trust. There are nice conveniences, and I think the climate would suit you, Mabel, excellently well. I wish you could be here while we are here, but engage yourself to no nursing. We will have matters all fixed up. The stairs to the 2nd and 3rd stories are very easy of ascent. But about the well. Early in the morning of the 23rd, Brother Palmer came to my room in company with your father and told us there was 15 feet of water. This morning, the 24th, there is 20 feet of water, and their tools at the bottom of the well. I cannot express to you how very glad we all are made. There is plenty of water, for all purposes. This cannot be estimated by gold or by silver. Water means life, and it is impossible to estimate it. They wish to go down 10 feet more, and their water plant with the very best machinery and with larger pipe may lessen the measure. They want to make everything the very best possible for the future. This means that our orange trees, few although they be, may be saved. The Lord has answered all our expectations, and we shall have reason for thanks, giving 2 wells. The one at the first has never failed, but we dared not use the water for to nourish the olive trees, orange and lemon trees, and now we feel we can supply every emergency. I want to praise the Lord with heart and soul and voice. I must now close this long letter. You will hear from your father soon, and then something definite will be determined. We want Mabel to take right hold here. Ella May is to fill her lot and place. You must both be of good courage in the Lord. Can you tell us how much money was raised upon the contribution day? We hope something was done. Your father will remain here to get things settled until the middle of next week. There are arrangements to be made. There are plans to talked up. And then it may be the middle of next week before we start on our way for Los Angeles. And we may have to remain there some days, but we hope not long. I close my letter now with the intelligence that Clarence Chrysler, who has been engaged 3 years to a lady working in the Review and Herald, will be united in marriage this evening. He seems rather confused.
It is such a new experience to him that he seems almost dazed. Your father will perform the service. Good night, children. You will hear from your father very soon. Now they are talking over future plans. I did not meet your father last night. He did not come until 8 o'clock. This morning your father and Brother Palmer came into my room very early. Brother Palmer was somewhat excited. Said he, "There is 15 feet come in the past night, and we have, with our pumping apparatus, tried to lessen the depth, but we have to send for a larger pipe to take out the water. They say the water is soft and clear." Well, both these two men were so glad they scarcely could keep from shouting aloud, "Success! Success!" Now their business is to get the water out, to go 10 feet deeper, if they can do this. But we shall have no more worriment about whether water can be obtained. This means everything to us here, who must have water for sanitarium purposes. We must have plenty. The sanitarium had one well that has never gone dry, and yet we needed another reliable source, for the sanitarium requires much, and we are so glad, so glad. They are all now interested to do their very best to set this sanitarium in operation. Do not worry, Mabel. There are two institutions, one in Los Angeles and one in San Diego, and this one in San Diego, we think, will be your choice. I will talk with your father about the matter this very day if I can get a chance. I have isolated myself from the family since last Sabbath, I think it is, taking cold speaking in tents. In Omaha it commenced, and I spoke at College View 5 times, and I rode out one day in a very cold, powerful wind and became chilled, then went back to Battle Creek and spoke 5 times, then stopped off at Fresno and spoke to a large audience. In Battle Creek, Sabbath was 1,500. On Sunday, 1,200. This was a great tax to me. Then we passed through the same at Battle Creek and darkness of Marion's death. She has been with me in my work for 25 years. She was appointed of God to help me, and we have been united to bring before the people a grand amount of precious truth. How I shall miss her as my helper. I left immediately after her burial to journey to Los Angeles and to this place. I do keep you in my mind much. I do not want you to take smallpox patients. You hold on until I write again, which will be soon. There will be opportunities for you. We have had much company, but until 1 week ago last Sabbath, I have not dared to converse. I will not neglect to write you. Just put your trust in the Lord, and He will open the way for you. I am not sorry you moved out of that house. You did not say how much rent you paid, but let me know. I will have an opportunity to see your father. Put your whole trust in the Lord and be of good courage. He will not leave nor forsake you. He will be your present help in every emergency. Our time here is short. Indeed, mine is. Lucinda left us yesterday for Los Angeles, and she goes on to Oakland, and she says she will meet us in St. Helena. We expect to leave Los Angeles next week for home. What route we will take, I do not know. I will now wait to see what your father will say. We find several rooms well furnished and with excellent class of furniture, but we need much more means to furnish so many rooms. But we will begin at once and make steady headway with the sanitarium, preparing for guests. Several are waiting, anxious to come. I must now think of home and when we will start. I must describe to you, the roads are lined with pepper trees and olive trees. Some trees have olives on them. There is the pepper tree. That is my choice. Eucalyptus next. In the mountains, pines and spruce come first. There are many nice houses here. National City was calculated to be a large center, but there are different drawbacks. National City Building is a nice, large building, but you may see it before long. So I end my letter with love.